All right. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Are we on there? That's okay. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. I just want to echo, do not miss next week. Do not miss next week. You are going to, Pastor Chris is going to take ugly to a whole new level. And no, ugly sweaters. So it's going to be a fantastic time. Don't miss it. And that have defined New Covenant Church are the thoughts about connecting with God and connecting with others. Amen? And so this whole idea of being connected to God and being connected to others, that's what we're wanting to do here. We're wanting to have God just dress our lives in His presence so that we can make a difference in other people's lives. Amen? Amen. Well, today, like I said, one of the things that we've been called to do that's kind of been a part of our journey all along is having been connected with God and connecting and through our connection with God, then connecting with each other. So we believe that New Covenant Church exists to make an impact for Jesus around the world and across the street. Now, years ago, when those words first started being formulated, they were just kind of catchy phrases. I mean, they had a little bit of weight to them. But through the years, we've understood that God had a prophetic revelation, a real prophetic word that was going to define who we are as a church, and that this was something that was not just a catchy phrase, but it was directional. It was prophetically directional in our lives. To say this is that we're going to exist to impact people's lives. That we're going to let God so impact our lives that what he does in our lives, we're going to impact and make a difference in other people's lives, literally around the world and across the street. And so we're not going to get focused on just ourselves. We're not just going to live for ourselves. We're not just going to consume everything on ourselves. We're going to be people who give, who live to give. And Yesterday, December 7th was my spiritual birthday, Pearl Harbor Day, and yes, praise the Lord, I'm so thankful for that, but I've got to tell you that one of the things that the Lord really did impart into my life was that when I got saved, I realized that I got saved from death. I was dead, and I was headed nowhere, and had no future, and had no hope for eternity. But when I got saved, when Danny led me to the Lord, I mean, things changed in my heart, and all of a sudden I recognized instead of having to always trying to be getting something from someone and always needing something from someone and somebody to help my insecurities and all my junk and stuff and all that, that all of a sudden I had something to give. And folks, I just want to tell you that if you're in Jesus Christ and we as a church, that part of the destiny of who we are called to be is to be people who live to give, people who are not focused on ourselves, but people who are here to make an impact, to pour ourselves out on behalf of others. Amen? You need to say amen bigger than that. Amen?
Amen.
And folks, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you for the way that you're doing that. Pastor Chris alluded to it, making an impact in the lives of people on all sectors of society, every socioeconomic level, every ethnic group. We want to impact everybody. And I really do appreciate the way that you're doing that. Through our holiday ministries this year, I'm telling you, when I started looking over and seeing the list of places where we're helping to make an impact for Jesus, it stirred my heart. Literally, listen to this, literally, you, through your giving this year, will impact over 1,000 children's lives through holiday ministries. Amen? 1,000. I mean, that's in India, in Costa Rica, in Romania, and here in Tyler, Texas. So thank you for that. Thank you for having a heart to make a difference in our community. I appreciate that. We really do want to make a difference here locally and globally. We want to help the hurting. We want to rescue those that are in prison. We want to reach out to the poor and make a difference in their lives for Jesus. Amen? Amen. And can I tell you that you're not going to be able to do that, we're not going to be able to do that, I'm not going to be able to do that if we wear an ugly thing in our lives called selfishness. Selfishness. And that's what I want to talk about today. And honestly, every person here, we don't have to pray about it. Every person here battles with selfishness. We battle with a focus on ourselves. And in my life, I've got to tell you that this has probably been one of the areas that I've battled most. Battled sometimes out of pride, sometimes out of lack, sometimes out of a wrong belief about who God was or who I was in Christ. And this thing of selfishness will try to twist and distort our lives to make us absolutely unproductive in the kingdom of God. Amen? So, we've done this for the last couple of weeks, so why not one more time? Let's just read a couple of lists about maybe the characteristics of a selfish person. What does a selfish person look like? Last week, I appreciate somebody came up to me after a service and said, "Oh, that list that you read, can I have a copy of that list?" I said, "Well, wow, yeah, that's great." I said, "Man, it describes everything about my," and then went on to describe this person. It described everything about somebody that I know, somebody that was in my life. And I'm sure that's true, but let's ask the Holy Spirit today to help us to make personal application. Amen? God, do it in me first and point it out in me first. Let me get the telephone pole out of my own eye so that I can help somebody get it out of get the toothpick out of theirs. Amen? All right. Characteristics of a selfish person. A selfish person doesn't enjoy giving. A selfish person is controlling, seeks power or influence over others, is manipulative, lacks the ability to identify with and understand the feelings and needs of others, is unwilling to express appreciation, has little ability to see how his or her behavior affects others, gets angry when everything doesn't go the way they want, expects to get something back from everything they give, has an exaggerated sense of self-importance and entitlement. Entitlement, woo, right? We don't even want to get off on that subject, do we? Craves admiration or attention, is always blaming and critical of others, is constantly preoccupied with appearances, has difficulty forgiving, lies and uses others to obtain whatever they want, denies, diverts, and shifts blame. I think a selfish person will use the tactic, if something's not going their way, they'll go on the offensive. A good offense always being is sometimes the best defense. Maybe you've been in a relational situation where there's I know we never have arguments, but maybe you had a loud discussion. And in that loud discussion, one of the tactics I used to always use in our relationship, in my relationship with Yvette, was she would express truth to me, and I knew she was right, but instead of admitting that I was wrong, I would just go on the attack and use words and just try to beat somebody down. And I'm just telling you, that's a characteristic of a selfish person. A selfish person acts in an emotionally immature way. A selfish person always usually portrays himself as a victim. Okay, so here are some ways that a selfish person will manifest in a relationship, okay? Now, let me say this. Sometimes it's okay to be a little selfish. And not consumed with selfishness, but I'm not saying that we don't ever take care of ourselves. I think we need to rest. You need to be healthy. You need to make sure that you value your life appropriately, even as God does. So we're not talking about this place, because there's some people that the way they live is just constantly giving, and they exhaust themselves to the point of where they're no good to be helpful to anybody else. And then that's not the, either ditch is, you're in the ditch, right? That's not where we want to be. So here's just a sign in relationship that maybe you're dealing with a selfish person or being a selfish person. And I'm going to use the pronoun he here, but it means he or she, okay? So one sign is that everything bothers him, okay? Everything bothers, can't do anything right. A second thing is they nag about your looks. They're not your friend. You know, when you were dating in a dating relationship and friendship and anything you wanted and let's do everything together, and then all of a sudden there's not a friendship anymore. Argues for no reason, just what we were talking about a minute ago. Best offense, best defense, a good offense. They only have sex when they want to. They're not concerned about another person's needs. You're selfish. This selfish person in a relationship doesn't show any empathy. Doesn't show any empathy. Maybe you've heard this before. You know, when you're first in a relationship, first married, and your spouse gets sick. You know, husband, your wife gets sick, and it's like, babe, is there anything I can do for you? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll run to the store. I'll whatever it is. I'll just go and do it. And here, let me fix you some tea. Let me do anything I can for you. You know, after about 5 or 10 years of marriage, and your wife's got a broken leg, laying in the floor bleeding, and you're like, hey, babe, don't get blood on the floor. Can you get up, please? You know, it's almost time for me to, you know, those type of things, right? So first baby, you know, oh, let me do it. Third, fourth, fifth baby. It's like, hey, keep that kid from crying. You know, what's going on with you here? So the selfish person, their interests come first. The selfish person finds you as the main culprit for anything and for everything. Everything goes wrong in your life. It's somebody else. It's never them. This one says, your selfish husband is always right. He's not Mr. Right. He's Mr. Always Right. A selfish man thinks his behavior is normal. It's the way I am. It's just the way I was created. And let me say, that's not God's creation. That's not God's plan for life. Amen? Amen? How about this? How about selfish parents, okay? Children that are in here, young people that are in here, selfish parents. Here's just a couple of things. Selfish parents turn every conversation to themselves. They expect you to meet their emotional needs. A selfish parent ignores the impact of negative comments on you. So they'll say things like, you're stupid, no good, don't have any future, never amount to anything. If you've ever heard those statements, let me say, that's not saying something about you. It's saying something about that person, about that parent, okay? A selfish parent has a high need for attention. They brag, sulk, complain. They tease inappropriately. They're loud, boisterous, always trying to be the center of the situation. They become angry when their needs are not met. They have an attitude of anything you can do, I can do better. They're always, have you ever met anybody like that? Anything you can do, I can do better. And there's always one-upmanship, and you tell a story, and they tell a bigger story, and you know I'm telling you, that's just that selfishness that insecurity that's manifesting in selfishness. And so they seek status, they spend money to impress others, they forget what you've done for them, yet continually remind you of what you owe them. Wow, right? They neglect the family to impress others. They are always seeking to gain admiration. They don't obey the law and see themselves above the law. They ignore other people's feelings, the children's feelings, call them overly sensitive or touchy. They tell you how you should feel, okay? Not respect. Ooh, I just saw a bunch of faces go, all right? So they tell you how you should feel instead of caring about how you do feel. They don't listen. They can't allow your opinions. They have shallow emotions and interest, and they use emotional blackmail to get what they want. Let me just say this. Selfishness in all of its manifestations are ugly. It's just ugly. And it has no life in the place of a disciple or of a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So Holy Spirit, just help us to see today in your word, by your spirit, God, anything in us that doesn't reflect the genuine liberality of Jesus in our lives. Amen. Amen. I want us to look into the scripture. We're going to read some scriptures today. We're going to start with James chapter 3, verse 13. It says this, we're reading from the easy-to-read version today, right? So all the Cowboy fans can read along. And I'm kidding. So sort of, kind of. I'm sorry. Don't leave. I'll stop, all right? So, all right. James chapter 3. Are there any among you who are really wise and understanding? Then you should show your wisdom by living right. You should do what is good with humility. A wise person does not boast. Listen to this. If you are selfish and have bitter jealousy in your hearts, you have no reason to boast. Your boasting is a lie that hides the truth. Okay, what's the lie that it's hiding there? Where did we get everything we've got? The only reason we have anything, the only reason we are anything, it's not because of our goodness. It's not because we chose to make ourselves something. Everything we have, everything we are, we have received as a great, wonderful gift from a good God. Amen? The giver of all gifts. He's a great and perfect God. He goes on, he says, that kind of wisdom does not come from God. That wisdom comes from the world. It's not spiritual. And that whole term spiritual in our world today, oh, they're a very spiritual person. They're somebody's very spiritual. They've got all this human wisdom, and they're all tied into all this kind of stuff that's outside of the liberality of the freedom that's in the life of Jesus Christ, and it's something spiritual. Look, it's not spiritual. Let me tell you, here's what the Word of God says. It says that it's not spiritual, it's from the devil. It's from the devil. It's spiritually dark. It's spiritually demonic, trying to lead you astray, trying to make your life of no value in the kingdom of God. But God's got a better plan. Amen? So he says, beware where there is jealousy and selfishness. There will be confusion and every kind of evil. Every kind of evil. Selfishness opens this door for all kinds of evil to exist in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, lies and wrong beliefs, and on and on and on. Galatians chapter 5 follows up with this and says this. It says, the wrong things, the selfish, sinful person, the selfishness of our flesh, the wrong things that the sinful self does are clear. Committing sexual sin, being morally bad, doing all kinds of shameful things, worshiping false gods, idols. Pastor Chris spoke about this sometime a few months ago about idolatry and how devastating that is in our lives. Anything we put before God, anything that we give affection to and attention to and control or authority or influence in our lives more than God is an idol. Right? And it says here, worshiping false gods, taking part in witchcraft, hating people, causing trouble, being jealous, angry, or selfish. Sometimes we think, oh, well, that's just a little thing. It's not. Selfishness and self-centeredness and self-focus, it's not a small thing. It's a dangerous thing because it causes people, as the scripture goes on to say, to argue and to divide into separate groups. And we don't see that in our world today, do we? Right? Yvette and I were talking this week about, wouldn't it be nice to just be able to sit down and have a conversation with somebody that you disagreed with? But it seems like that's just not able in our world. Can I say, as believers, we need to be able to have conversations with people who we disagree with spiritually, theologically, politically, morally, lifestyle, life. We need to be able to have a discussion. We need to be able to listen without being threatening or being attacking. Or we need to be safe places. We need to be places where people can come and ask questions. Amen? Amen? Come on, let's go, guys. So listen, it goes on. It says that these kind of people divide into separate groups, being filled with envy, getting drunk, having wild parties, and doing other things like this. I warn you now as I warned you before. Paul said, I love you so much, I'm going to warn you. I'm going to speak truth to you. I'm going to tell you truthful things because I'm telling you God's got a better plan for you. He says, the people who do these things will not have a part in the kingdom of God. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of commentaries on what that means, but can I tell you what I think? It means they won't experience kingdom life right here. They won't experience the love and the joy and the peace and the victory and the freedom and the glory that comes with living a life of faith filled with the presence of Almighty God. And can I tell you, that's God's desire for every one of his children, that you're living in with the manifestation of his kingdom and his presence in your life, his goodness in your life. I want it. Anybody here want that? I want it. And can I tell you this? I want it for every person. I want it for my brothers and sisters and every person to the left and to the right here today, every single person. 2 Timothy goes on and puts it like this. He says, people will love only themselves and money. People will love only themselves. And he goes on and said, they'll be proud and boast about themselves. They will abuse others with insults. They won't obey their parents. They will be ungrateful against all that's pleasing to God. They'll have no love for others because the only thing that fills their lives is love for themselves. They will refuse to forgive anyone. They will talk about others to hurt them. They will have no self-control because self is in control. They have no self-control because they're so selfish that self is controlling their lives. They'll be cruel and will hate what is good. But for those who are selfish and self-seeking, Romans chapter 2 says, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Let me say, folks, we cannot live selfish lives without incurring the penalty of that type of, the results of that type of life in our own lives. You can't live for yourself and expect to receive all of the benefits and blessing of heaven in our lives here today. God's saying, I don't want you to live with those bad things. I don't want you to sow seeds, corrupt seeds, and receive corrupt harvests. I've got a better thing for you. I've got something better for you. And here's what Jesus offers. This is one of our verses on the we have on the screen. It says this. Jesus in Matthew 8, or in Mark chapter 8, says this. He says, verse 34, calling to the crowd with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen? So the plan is to follow, is either follow self or follow Jesus. Follow self or follow Jesus. One pizza, two pizzas. Right? Okay, let me help you with a choice. Bad thing, good thing. Self or Jesus, let's follow Jesus. Amen? So here are some ways, here are some ways to defeat selfishness in our lives. Ready? Number one is to practice humility. Practice humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, in whatever you do, don't let selfishness or pride be your guide. Be humble and honor others more than yourselves. Don't be too interested in only your own life, but care about the lives of others too. Don't just think about yourself. Don't just focus on yourself. If all you do is think about and focus on yourself, then you're going to be missing, you're missing huge, huge parts of a beautiful, wonderful life. So Philippians says, think about others. Think about others. And you've just heard Pastor Chris talk about this lady who's just a representation. Listen, during this holiday season, don't just think about what's on your Christmas list. Don't just think about what the need is in your life. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you, as the scripture says, right? Be humble, honor others, okay? Think about others, pray for others, help others, and watch what happens in your life. Amen? A second thing is to practice service, practice service. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Well, we know this, right? Jesus didn't come just to be served. He came to serve others. He served men and women, boys and girls while he was on earth. He served the hurting. He served the poor. He served those that were in bonds. He served the least. Weeks ago, we talked about how that he served the lepers and the outcasts. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. So in the same way, what about us? Are we willing to serve? I looked that scripture, the scripture up in Romans chapter 15. It says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. It's not all about us. Amen? It really isn't. It's not just about us getting what we want and our needs met. So he says this. He said, let each of us, Romans 15, 2, please his neighbor for his good. Let's look for ways that we can build somebody else up. For Christ did not please himself, but as is written, the reproaches of those who reproached fell on him. Can I give a suggestion about this, about practicing serving? We talk about serving here. And let me just say this. When we talk about serving, we're not asking, in reality, we are asking something of you. But we're asking something for you and for your benefit. It's your benefit. It's for your benefit to serve. It's for your benefit to use your gifts and talents and abilities. It's for your benefit. Can I tell you that one of the greatest places we need to practice this is in our homes? I expected a wave of amens right there, you know. So, yeah, thanks. It's too late now. No, I don't even go there. But I'm serious. Husbands, you want to show your love for your wives? Serve your wives. Serve them. Serve them. Show them how valuable they are. Show them how esteemed they are. Show them how honored and how loved they are. Wives, you want to show your love and honor and respect. Serve them to your husband. Amen. Okay, right. I heard a couple male voices. Men, that was not the time to amen. That was time for the ladies to amen. Okay, all right. But serve them. Okay, serve them with grace and with kindness and. Don't throw the food across the table, but serve them. Let this practice start at home. And can I say this, parents? The way that you serve each other, the way that you serve each other is going to set the example for what your kids believe about service. Did you get that? It's what you may say one thing, but what you do is going to be what they believe. Amen? I mean, it really is. And again, I could go on about this. It's one of those statements that's been burning in my heart. I get concerned about people being cool to the things of God or casual to the things of God, whether it's prayer or the Bible or church. I mean, we got a lot of people in our world. I'm thankful for you all being here today, and we love and appreciate you and value you and just so thankful. There's a lot of people that's like, church is kind of ass, and if I haven't got anything better to do, and if we don't have 14 other opportunities, then I'll show up for church. And can I tell you this? Can I say this? To what you're casual about, they'll be cold about. You're setting a pattern. You're pouring belief systems. The Bible says that the eyes are the window to the soul. And not what they hear you say, but what they see you do is what they'll put into the belief system of their lives and what they'll practice. I think it's time to turn up the heat on our commitment to God. Amen. Let's be hot about serving the Lord. Let's be hot about getting to worship God. Let's be hot about coming and fellowshipping and worshiping God together. Amen. 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 Number three, practice sacrifice. Practice sacrifice. Okay? Now, in the Old Testament, you only got to practice this one time with an animal, right? But now, you know what? The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service, and we do it day in and day out. Day in and day out. There's so many ways that we could do this, but can I say that one of the greatest ways that we need to practice sacrifice is by presenting ourselves unto the Lord. I just believe that we need more time in the presence of God. Do you hear me this morning? Yeah, but we got to do this. Can I say, if we'll start from the presence of the Lord, it's amazing how much it'll change everything else. Corey encouraged us in that today, just the presence of the Lord. So Friday I was out, cutting the grass and raking up leaves and getting ready. We had the XYZ, the senior adults, over at our house Friday night, and we had one heck of a time. It was amazing. It was amazing. Woo! If you, the food, it was a 4-pound night. So it was amazing. It was fantastic. But Friday I was out and I was cutting the grass and working in the yard, and I was on the lawnmower and I had my headphones on and I was listening to music and I was worshiping and listening to some teaching, and then I was worshiping, and all of a sudden I heard the Lord say, "Hey, Sam," and this was Friday. Saturday, yesterday was my spiritual birthday. He said, "Sam, tomorrow's your birthday. What would you like?" Now here I am. I'm in the worship, in presence, the presence of the Lord. I'm worshiping the Lord. I'm enjoying His presence. And He says, "What would you like?" And all of a sudden, in an instant, my mind started thinking about, what would I like? Well, I'd like a truck. And I'd like to get to do this, and I'd like to go here. And all of a sudden, my mind filled up with this list of things that were so far from the presence of God. Not bad things. There's nothing wrong with having a great, wonderful truck, right? You got that on the list. Okay, just so. But then all of a sudden it was like I could see his gaze. Like when you ask a child, you know, and they say, hey, would you like this really wonderful, valuable thing? Or would you like this 10-cent, you know, old plastic toy? And they go, I want the toy. Here. No, you really don't want the toy, you know. Take the good thing. And I could hear the Lord. I could just kind of see his eyes as he said, really, is that what you want? And I could see him just kind of looking and smiling at me. And all of a sudden, oh, God, that's not what I want. God, what I want is you. I want more of your presence. I want more of your love. I want more of your goodness. I want more of all that you are. And something began to stir in my heart. And it really did become this hunger. It started fueling this passion. God, I want more time with you. I want more intimacy with you. I want to be with you, God, because in your presence, I experience everything that my heart and that my soul longs for. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever had a worry or a care or maybe just a deep problem, a burden, and you're carrying it and you're carrying it and you feel yourself being pressed down by it, and all of a sudden you get into the presence of the Lord and he lifts it. And all of a sudden, he begins to fill us with strength. And all of a sudden, he begins to fill us with hope. And he fills us with faith. And he fills us with joy. And he fills us with peace and confidence. Has anybody ever experienced that? Oh, my God. God, I pray that every one of us would experience that. As a matter of fact, just right where you're at right now, you don't have to stand. Just close your eyes and why don't you just lift your hands and say, oh, God, I want your presence. Oh, God, even if I really don't want your presence right now, I pray that you would so move and stir my heart and my soul. God, that I would want your presence, that I would desire presence. Oh, God, that I would desire your fullness in my life, God. Oh, God, just do that today, Holy Spirit, I pray. Do that today. Cause a hunger and a thirst for you. Help us to be people who genuinely seek you first, who, God, all that we are, God, is just consumed in your presence, and you fill us with all that you are. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just tell him, say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Romans puts it like this. It says, instead of all these other things, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord. And it goes on and says, and don't let yourself think about the ways to indulge your fleshly, selfish, evil desires. I pray that we would be clothed with the presence of the Lord. And if we're clothed with the presence of the Lord, you know what will happen? We will, final thing here, we will practice generosity. We'll be people who, as Hebrews chapter 13 says, do not neglect good and to share what you have. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. If we're saturated with the presence of the Lord, if we're clothed with the presence of the Lord, can I tell you, we will live generously in every area of our lives. We'll live generously financially. Again, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness in all of your tithes and offerings and holiday ministry giving. And thank you for your building. Hey, we got final sets engineered. I meant to have them here this morning. We have plans for a new building. Hallelujah. Woo! With God's help, they'll go to the city this week for some approval and permits and things like that. So thank you. Thank you for all of your financial giving. But can I say this? Don't let your financial blessings be limited to just what you do at church. Bless a server at a restaurant. Maybe there's somebody who has a need in your family, whatever it is. Time. We'll be generous with our time. I know that's the most valuable commodity that we have. And one quick prompting that I wanted to just share this morning is, hey, even when we come to church, look at me. I know some of you are going, time, it's about time for you to land this plane here, buddy. So time. Let me say, we used to say this all the time, but when you come to church, don't just come for yourself. Don't be so narrow and small and maybe some other bad words to say, Chris. Just don't be so self-focused and selfish that you don't take time to share your life with somebody else. Share a hug or a smile or a handshake or to give yourself. I'm telling you, folks, there are some amazing, wonderful people in here that have so much to give and so much to share. Don't just come and consume. Be a giver. Be a giver. Be generous with who you are in the lives of others. A word of encouragement. You'd be surprised how far a word of encouragement. Matter of fact, I challenge you, before you leave here today, give somebody just a word of encouragement. Be generous with your hospitality. Amen? Inviting some friends over and having some fellowship. Be generous with your gifts and your wisdom and your help, your care, your love for others. And as you pour out, as you wear the presence of God and you pour yourself out generously, not living selfishly, but pour yourself out generously, I believe that God will pour himself back in and over and through our lives in ways that will overwhelm us. Has anybody ever experienced that? Many people know you can't outgive God. Amen? Amen. So, Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that you today, God, that you would remove anything. Come on, church. Anything, God. Any spot or blemish. Anything that reeks of selfishness in our lives. God, that self would be gone. Self would be crucified. Self, God, would be removed out of the way. And that Jesus, you would clothe us with your love, your forgiveness, and your presence. For we are yours, and we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.